News Talk Breakfast. In association with AIR. Seamless connections with Ireland's number one broadband provider.
Now, a leading Belfast plastic surgeon has warned that Love Island is leading to body dysmorphia, with girls as young as 18 seeking boob jobs to look like stars in the villa. Last night, three Irish contestants entered the villa via Casa Amor. But is the show causing body issues? Joining me now is leading plastic surgeon at the Belfast clinic, Cosmetech, Dr. Chris Hu. Chris, tell us, what are you actually seeing happening, and why do you think it's to do with Love Island?
Well, Kira, every time Love Island comes on, since its inception in 2015, there's usually a little blip and increase in an interest with surgical or non-surgical interventions to try to improve their outlook and so forth. I must admit, this year the increase is maybe not as large. Perhaps it's COVID. I'm not entirely sure. But historically, there has been an increase. I don't think the show itself causes body dysmorphia. Don't forget, body dysmorphia can actually usually start in adolescent years, and then it slowly develops over time, and then it becomes an unhealthy and unnatural obsession, usually with one particular part of the body, and it takes over the person's lives.
It's quite interesting hearing you say this, because you are a plastic surgeon, so you're in the business of, when people come to you with these types of, I suppose, obsessions about a blemish or some aspect of their appearance, you're the man who alters it for them.
Well, to be honest with you, it's a fair criticism, but I have to admit, if you look at the research, and I think it reflects in my clinic as well, body dysmorphia is quoted from anywhere between 0.5 to maybe 2% of the general population, and it's a wide spectrum, okay? But in the average plastic surgery clinic, it can be up to 10% of your patients. I see sometimes 10 patients in the evening, and I don't always pick up body dysmorphia, I must admit. And certainly it's hard to detect.
That's very interesting. So you're saying 9 out of 10 people who get cosmetic surgery don't have body dysmorphia. Well, what's driving them to get it then?
They are just seeking to improve their bodies. Kira, don't forget, this is an unhealthy obsession on one part of their body or one aspect of the perceived part. And it's a behavior.
So are there some people who come to you and you think this person has an unhealthy obsession with some bit of their body and are looking for surgery? And then you think the vast majority come to you and don't have an unhealthy obsession with their body, just are mildly unhappy with some bit of their body and want surgery? I mean, first of all, how do you tell the difference between the two? And second of all, surely if somebody goes to the effort of surgery, sometimes majorly invasive surgery, surely there must be an element of body dysmorphia in all these patients.
Well, I must admit, I'm not a psychologist specializing in body dysmorphia. I merely am able to detect the patient might have an unhealthy obsession. There are many tools out there, such as questionnaires and so forth. And it can be very subtle, Kira, and it doesn't always present itself in the first sitting. And that's why a reputable plastic surgeon would certainly, especially with invasive surgery, there is a mandatory cooling off period at least a week or 2 weeks.
Are you saying if somebody comes in then, and just trying to understand this, that if somebody comes in and casually wants a boob job, that's okay. But if somebody comes in and is obsessed with their boobs being wrong in some way, that's not okay, and you will only alter the boobs of somebody who's quite casual in their distress, as opposed to somebody who it is an obsessive thing?
It is very difficult to put into words, I must admit, Kira. It is sometimes a feeling, and sometimes the casual ones, especially in the first consultation, is okay, and then you see them in the second consultation and they seem all right as well, and then the messages start, and then they keep asking, and then they keep obsessing, and sometimes
But Chris, are you saying the more they want it, the less likely you are to do it?
That's the irony, isn't it? We have to be very careful. We are custodians of these patients. It's not to be taken lightly. There are long-term effects, and we are not just technicians putting in Botox fillers or implants into patients. We are custodians of patients. We are supposed to look after them, not just physically, but also mentally. And if I detect something that's not quite right, I would suggest to the patient that perhaps they should see a psychologist first. And I have done so in the past.
And I suppose last question for you, and I know it's a hard question. Some people would suggest, Chris, that you're part of the problem, that you are there providing a service to people maybe who are distressed about their body through a lack of self-esteem or a lack of confidence or whatever is spurring them to want to change. And you're there, you know, taking their money.
Well, that criticism can be justly levied at some people. And I have to check myself all the time. Am I doing something right by the patient? You have to question their motives, why they want it. Well, most of us have training in some parts of psychology to at least detect that perhaps this patient has an unhealthy obsession and that surgery can make things worse. Bear in mind, aesthetic surgery, aesthetic medicine has its place. And if it's done properly, I've seen people's lives literally changed for the better, and they have better self-confidence. It can be a powerful tool, but it is, Kira, a tool. A tool, if wielded unwell, in the wrong way, can cause irreparable harm to patients, never mind physically, but also mentally.
Dr. Chris Hu there from the Belfast Clinic Cosmetech. Let us know what you think. Very interesting conversation. The more you want it, the less you should have it. Is that the case? 53106 at a cost of 30 cents. Give us an owl text here this morning on News Talk Breakfast.